people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, this is Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanchon. On the other line is Motorator Matt DeAndrea. Hey, man, you know what? We just got back from auction week over in Scottsdale, and we were like, let's lay down a Shift and Steer right away while it's fresh in our minds. So we're bringing it to everybody.
So fresh that I'm still traveling. That's why we're. That's why I'm calling in this time. So hopefully everybody can hear me okay. It was a fun week in Arizona. I definitely want to get your take on it as well. I know we got to hang out a bit, but I also swung by RM auction and Gooding auction as well. Those were exciting. So it was a very big auction week.
It was huge. I actually swung by, in addition to Barrett Jackson, where you and I hung out, I went over to Russo and Steele, and they were at a new location. Oh. And, you know, I'll fill you guys in about that, too, because we kind of saw the gamut, didn't we? We saw everything over in Scottsdale.
We did, and I got a little bit of a recap of what's going on. For the first part, our friends over at ClassicCars.com, what they do is they keep a pretty good eye on all of the auctions. They send their staff out, and they go and they watch everything that's going on, and they try to get, like, some feedback and analysis on what the collector car market is doing. And their feeling is, overall, things went well. Overall, it looks like the top of the European classics, the $8 million cars, the $9 million cars, the $7 million cars, those cars are holding. You know, over the past few years, it seems like the guys that wanted those cars got them, and the people that still kind of want them don't really want to pay more than what's out there. So those cars are holding steady. There was two Jaguar D-Type. I think the reserve on those cars was like 10 to 12 million, and they had high bids of somewhere near $9 million and did not sell. So the bids were great. There was a lot of bids, but people weren't really willing to go beyond that. So the high-end European cars are kind of holding steady. But we are seeing some pretty interesting trends on the rest of the cars.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, cars like BMW Z8 and a Mercedes 190, those are kind of flattening out just because of a market correction. They kind of popped, and now they're holding steady at pretty good prices, by the way.
Real good prices for those Z8s, especially. Yeah,
yeah, they're floating around like $170,000 to $200,000, which is great money for those cars. But we're starting to see mid to entry level investment cars, call that what you will, starting to pick back up a little bit. So, some of the lower price cars, again, like you might've seen one of my tweets, from the weekend where I said at RM, they had a 1999 BMW, a 99, Ferrari 355 Targa 6-speed manual in white. It was the only white one produced in 99. And I tweeted out and said, this is a fantastic entry level investment car, entry level, you know, Ferrari to get into. And I know that's kind of an odd term because the estimate was like 120 to 150,000. It hammered at about $85,000. And I think that's a fantastic buy for that car. And all things considered, yeah, maybe it needs belts and that's expensive and whatever. But you take that into account when you're getting into these types of cars. That was a gorgeous car. That was a good example. And then one other example, Brad, is at Gooding, we saw a Ferrari 458 Challenge.
Right.
Okay. The street car, but with the wing on it and the added aero effect. It's a specialty car. It's lower production numbers compared to the normal 458. I want to say I don't have it in front of me, but the estimate was something like, I don't know, 150 or 175 up to like 200 or 220. Mm-hmm. And it was a no reserve car. It hammered for $100,000. You know, and had I known that and I had your wallet with me, Brad, I would have bought that car.
Yeah, as long as you had my wallet. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a great spender of other people's money.
Exactly. But no, you know, those challenge cars, they never go for quite as much as a street car because they're not as versatile. However, they are, you know, that is a good price for one. I mean, that's a pretty good price, no matter how you cut it, because you can go out and have some good times with that.
I can, I want to hear about what you got as well, and then we'll catch up on some of the other cars, but I can give you a quick run through of the top 10 sales.
Okay, go for it, and then I'll fill you in what I saw.
All right, so number 10 was the 1948 Tucker. This was Preston Tucker's personal car. It sold for $1,792,500.
And where did that sell at?
That was at RM.
Okay.
And then Gooding had number 9 with a 2014 Pagani Huayra coupe, sold for $2,090,000. That's a modern-day supercar.
Yeah, the Paganis, yeah.
And by the way, the modern-day supercars are doing very well. Number 8 on the list was a 2017 Ford GT, which you saw with me as well. That was a Barrett Jackson charity car. But the reason why it's on this list is because it wasn't donated from the factory to charity. Somebody owns the car. Ron Pratt owned the car. He's a big collector in Arizona. He bought the car. He's donating all the proceeds to charity, but somebody had to pay this full price for the car. And the Ford GT sold for $2.5 million. And I know you're thinking, how did he sell a Ford GT? It's against Ford's rules. He got special permission from Ford to do it with the condition that he would donate all the money to charity. So great for the charity. And by the way, if you weren't on the list for a Ford GT and you absolutely had wanted to have one, this is the only one you could have bought.
Exactly. That made it very special and made that price go through the roof.
Yeah, and everybody wants to help the kids.
Yeah, especially when it's a good tax write-off for one of these wealthy guys.
Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so number seven on the list, another car at Gooding was a 1967 330 GTS Spider, a gorgeous car. It sold for $2,530,000. And number six on our list, our beloved Daytona Spider, is a car that I love. It screams of Miami Vice back in the day.
Yes.
But number six was the 1972 365 GTS 4 Daytona Spider, sold for $2.64 million. That was at Bonham.
Wow. That's those things have just really withstood the test of time, you know, on pricing and everything.
And the Spiders are significantly more than the coupes.
Well, yeah, always have been, yes.
I like the coupe. I thought, doesn't Sammy have one? I thought Sammy Hagar had a coupe.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'd be lying if I said.
I think he had one, and I think he was selling it or sold it recently. Number five on the list, the 1966 Shelby 427 Cobra. I saw this car in person. This car was gorgeous, great color combination. It's like a silver with a white stripe, or kind of grayish with a white stripe. A really good example of this car. 427 Cobra sold for $2.9 million and change. $2,947,500.
So, man.
Just under $3 million for that car, which is a lot. Big money for that car. Big money.
It is. It is big money for that car.
Now, I saw, I don't know if you saw them as well, but I saw like a 289 Cobra at Gooding, I'm sorry, at RM sell for about $1 million. And I think one came up at Barrett Jackson and was just under $1 million and did not sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had a reserve. It's one of the few cars that did not sell. But So number four on the list, some of these pre-war cars I'm not up to speed on too much, but a 1931 Bugatti Type 55 Roadster sold for $4,070,000 at Gooding. Number three on the list, the 1954 Ferrari 500 Mondial Spider. The 1954 Mondial, not the 1999
yeah, not
or 1989
the
Mondial. Not the one that's 45,000, but this is the one that's $4,455,000.
Oh, so this is the one that's worth money.
This is the one that's worth money, yeah.
Yes.
And then number two and number one. Number two on the list. The 1958 Porsche 550A Spider. This Porsche sold for $5,170,000 at Bonhams. The gorgeous car. You're definitely not paying per square inch because this car is tiny, and it's $5.17 million. And the number one on the list, which I was there for this auction.
Is a Fox Body Mustang.
I wish it was. This is a car at Gooding. That auctioneer, man, did he put work into selling this car. It was at the bottom end of the estimate, so he was struggling to get the reserve met, but he got it met. The 1965 Ferrari 275 GTB Special Coupe. It went for $8,085,000, and I believe this is the car that was personally owned by the Pininfarina guy.
They had a Pininfarina. So
he personally owned it. I forgot what his first name was. He had a funky first name, that guy.
Luigi.
No, but it was like
no.
But it was like Bart or something.
Bart.
Bartholomew or something, but yeah, but something wacky like that. But yeah, so the top car, $8,085,000. So the total for auction weekend, $247.8 million. Average sale price is $92,887. Of all of the auctions, there was an 84% sell through rate. They sold 2,668 cars of the 3,176 available. And just to give you a little comparison, $247.8 million this year, $259.8 million last year. So they did more money. All of the auctions in Arizona did more money last year by about $12 million. But the sell-through rate this year was up 1%, 84% this year compared to 83% last year. So that's all the statistics I have on Arizona Auction Week. It was fun. I will tell you that attendance was also very high. So this sort of coincides with where we are with the stock market. People have a little bit more money available, I guess, as a result of the stock market. And corporate tax is being lowered. Which means maybe better corporate bonuses, things like that. But attendance was high. Sell-through rate was a little bit higher. Just the overall dollars were down because some of the reserves were very high. Brad, I think you would have noticed as well as Barrett Jackson, although super successful this year, their salon cars, they have, 1,700 cars at auction. They have a couple hundred salon cars.
Yes.
And the salon cars are pretty much the ones with the reserve. And I think most of the salon cars did not sell. I think the reserves were maybe a little high. And for that reason, those cars didn't.
Yeah, those cars had really high reserves, and many, many of them went through, and they go, okay, well, we'll move that one along. It did not sell at 1.5 or 1.1. So you know they had a really high reserve, but they were high-buck cars, and you know, it's a touchy-feely type of a thing on those. They, you know, people sometimes put them out there to let people know they're for sale, and the auctions don't like to not have a reserve car go, but at the same time, they want to have a high sell-through rate, and that can harm their sell-through rate, you know, when they don't get that, but you can't give those cars away either. You know what really surprised me? Okay, we talk about the you know, the auctions, the high attendance, the high sell-through, and everything like that. One of the things is I can guarantee you there are cities all around that would go, boy, why does the Phoenix metro area get those? Because the tax revenue and the all of the people that come to town for the, you know, for all the you know, just the revenues brought in from tourists and from the people coming in, let alone all the tax revenue on the sell-through on those cars is huge. But some of the cars that I saw, Matt, that surprised me, at Barrett-Jackson on Saturday, they had a 2014 Lamborghini Aventador LP700-4 go through. Now, that car surprised me because it's retaining its value. I mean, it's a newer supercar, but it sold through at $260,000. A lot of times we see those supercars when they're just, you know, 4 or 5 years old, they take a huge drop in value. And, you know, that car's really retaining its value. I don't know how many miles were on this particular one, but it was a no-reserve car, and it still got $260,000.
Well, you know, I meant to ask you, well, first of all, this was definitely the buyer's year. There were so many cars where the reserve was, I don't know, let's call it 100 grand, and cars were selling for 70 grand, or not the reserve, the estimate was. So it definitely was a buyer's year. But going through this, going through this top 10 list, these are the big dollar cars, and most of the big dollar cars are at Gooding, Bonhams, RM. They're very special cars. But there were some great buys in the muscle car world. I know that you're pretty dialed into that, certainly more than I am. What did you see at Barrett or Russo that stood out? I know that you and I were walking around and we saw a white Copo Camaro. I think it went for 75 grand, and probably the estimate was much higher than that. But that's an example of somebody got a good car at a good price.
Yeah, that that particular car went for what I felt. Now, I did not, I will say, did not look at the you know, very specifics on that, you know, and really check the car out. But from the little bit that I did see, it was a pretty good buy, because I recollect and that it was well under the money. I mean, it was a perfect Copo Camaro from what I saw, with a you know, a white finish, had all the right parts, and it was $60,000. But when I got back, I looked it up, Matt. It was a tribute car. That's why it went for so little. And
oh, really? Interesting.
Yes. So it didn't have any indication that I saw on it that it was a tribute car. I'm sure it was on the verbiage that they said on stage and everything, but it was a dynamite tribute car, but it was a tribute car. Now, on the other side, that 69 ZL1 that went across the block on Saturday got $700,000. And from what I understand, that had a replacement block in it. So it was the correct replacement block, but no less a replacement block, which happened to a lot of those because they were drag cars and they scattered the motors or wore them out. But think about
you think it makes that much of a difference?
Oh, heck yeah. If you got think about it. If you have a 69 ZL1 aluminum block car and it has the original motor, because it was a race car, that makes it even that much more a rarity, because of the fact that it's got a matching number. It didn't get a scattered motor, you know, because those cars weren't built to be like, you know, nowadays, you know, the Hellcats and the Demons and everything like that. Yeah, there's a few guys taking them out and racing them. Back in the day, those 69 Camaros, every single one, because the way you found out about those was some guy at GM called you up and said, hey, Matt, I know you're a really successful drag racer. Go into the dealership and ask for, you know, COPO number ZL1, and we'll get you set up. Because that's what those central office production order numbers were, was so you could walk into the dealership and order something. It's kind of like the hidden menu at In-N-Out. You know, if you know what to ask for, you can get it. Back then, you could get a car like that.
Wait a minute. There's a hidden menu at In-N-Out?
You didn't know that? You can get a ZL1 motor between two buns and monster style. No, but but no, the thing about those cars is that so many of them raced every weekend on the track. To find one with the original block, that's really a rarity, you know. It's and when you find them that way, makes them even more. That car would have been a $1 million car if it had the original block in it. So, but still, $700,000 is a ton of money for a 69 bare bones Camaro, you know. But it was cool with the bright orange paint and everything like that. Now,
yeah, well,
you know, when you
go ahead.
When you talk about modern day muscle, what surprised me were the prices on some of those. I saw a couple of the modern day muscle cars, you know, the Demons and the Hellcats and stuff like that going across, and they were getting big money for those. Did you see the one go across at Bear Jackson on Saturday? A 2018 Challenger SRT Demon, and it went for $145,000. So,
wow.
I mean, you know, that's the guy who couldn't get one through his dealership, so he now has his Demon.
Was it a charity car, though? Did the money go to charity? Or
no,
just
that was just one that somebody had bought somewhere and brought it to the sale. So, $145,000. Somebody paid a premium on it.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear about what also you saw at Russo, but we've got this thing going on with our friends at Amsoil that I want to tell you about.
Okay.
But really, I want to talk about your bucket list for a minute. That's right, your bucket list. You know what should be on your bucket list is a trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. And this is not just any trip, but the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. That's exactly what Amsoil, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and the best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. Listen to what you get as the grand prize winner. You will get pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch break, $1,000 in cash, round-trip airfare for two from to and from Indy, hotel accommodations for two for 5 nights in a hotel near Indy Motor Speedway, ground transportation to and from the airport, hotel, speedway, chances to meet drivers. It's great. Just like they did when making high-performance synthetic motor oil, Amsoil went the extra mile with the sweepstakes. If that's not enough, 10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. This is how you do it. To enter the Amsoil Ultimate Indy 500 Fan Experience, text INDY to 41487. That's INDY, I-N-D-Y, to 41487, or visit Amsoil.com/Indy. Again, Amsoil.com/Indy. So it's a great sweepstakes. We're happy to have those guys on board with us. It would be fun, considering I've never been to Indy. I feel like I should do this, but I don't know how. I'm the one reading the ad.
I just texted it. I'm in, right? Can I win, or am I not eligible to win?
You should do it. We might have to take it away if you win. You can probably keep the video game.
Okay. Damn, that's a killer prize, man. I mean, most times,
dude,
it's like,
I want to go to Indy.
But I mean, prizes like that, it's usually one of those where it's, you know, yeah, we're going to fly in for the day of the thing and the night before. 5 days? I mean, you're there rocking it for the whole week, you know, the whole Indy week.
Yeah. And get $1,000 in cash to throw around, you know.
No kidding. I mean, you know, you can be balling at Indy. You know, it's
heck yeah.
Sounds good to me. So no, we need to make a trip to Indy. We need somebody to sponsor us to go to Indy.
I know, right? We need we need to get that going on.
So Russo and Steele.
And of course, we're going to have to talk about Fox Body.
No, come on. Again? You're bringing up the F word. Now, we're going to, just because if you haven't seen our Instagram page, there's a great shot of Matt standing in what he calls F body heaven, F Fox body heaven, because there was two rows of heaven for Matt standing there. And we'll tell you about that in a minute. But first, let me tell you about Russo and Steele. And
yeah.
I'm not going to talk about the cars as much because I didn't get as much time to hang out there. Kind of shot over there on Saturday, rolled through, and I can, you know, I mean, they had a great selection of cars, a lot of muscle cars, as usual, at Russo and Steele. Some exotics, you know, some Porsches and some, you know, Ferraris and a lot of Shelby Cobras and things like that. But what I was really impressed with was their new venue. They used to be across the freeway from Barrett-Jackson, like one exit down. And, you know, I think it's a known fact. They were in a dirt field. I mean, it was dirt pulling in. It was dirt walking around in the cars. It was, you know, carpet. You know, they had like fake grass laid where the cars were inside. But when you were outside, you were in the dirt. And sure, they put gravel down, did stuff like that to make it as nice as possible. But the parking lot was atrocious and everything. And they have moved down by the spring training grounds for some of the Major League Baseball guys, right off the freeway across from the Talking Stick Resort, which is now about 5 miles south of Barrett-Jackson. And totally different, Matt. I mean, this is a real venue. Huge parking lots. And they had a beautiful, you know, paved area and the, you know, all the peak tents and everything. And it was top notch. It was really nice. And I think they've got a lot of room to grow there. And I was talking to Drew Alcazar, who owns Russo and Steele, and he told me that they've bought that facility. So they are there. And
wow, good for them.
Yeah, so they are going to be there for a long time, and they definitely have room to grow because there's a ton of room there. And
that's great that they did that because it allows them to invest in it more over the years, start permanent structures and things like that. So
right.
That's
right.
Good. Congratulations to those guys.
And along the growth, I don't know if you noticed this year, but at Barrett-Jackson, they have now paved every inch of the area where the cars are. Remember how it used to be? Some of it was paved, some of it was grass. Well, now they have worked with the city of Scottsdale, and everything is paved, which is beautiful because we had rain on Saturday and everything drained away. You didn't have puddles to walk through. And every car on the grounds is tinted. There's not anything sitting outside anymore.
You know, we interviewed Craig Jackson a couple of weeks ago on CarCast as well. By the way, great interview. You should tune into that. And I think he told us he had 1.1 million square feet under tent roof now.
Yeah, because they got a new tent, and it's even larger than the last one. Huge. I mean, they could hold drag races under that thing, and have a shutoff room and everything.
it was great.
It's spectacular, but the whole thing. Before we get into the Fox bodies, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about. We always talk about the cars. We talk about the sell through, and. And, you know, it is pretty amazing to sit there and watch. I've been going, you know, like I've said before, my first one I ever went to was 1984. And, you know, I was, you know, wet behind the ears and walking around and just, you know. But it's changed so much. But it is still amazing to watch people stand there and spend $100, $200, $300 and up. And, you know, it's just fun money because, you know, we're not talking about the dealers who do it for a living. We're talking about the guy who comes out from Milwaukee or flies in from Florida to buy a car. And it still amazes me to watch some guy stand there and just, hey, I'm going to buy that Dodge Power Wagon no matter how much it costs. $200,000, by the way, which blew me away. Did you see that one, Matt?
I think I did see. I saw a couple Power Wagons, and I saw some at the other auctions as well, because we had our friend Tyson with us, and he's super into those.
Oh, really? Well, it would have taken him $225,000 to buy this one, maybe more. Some guy had to have it. He was sitting down in the seats, and I was watching it, and this was it was nice. You know, it had a Hemi crate motor in it. It was done right. But I still question $200,000 for a 41 Power Wagon, you know, and,
wow.
You know, you figure with fees, he's into that for $2.25 million, you know, almost $250,000 for a 41 Power Wagon. That's a lot of dough.
Wait, that wasn't the, like the muted gray one, which had the pistol in the floorboard, was it?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yep.
There was one there.
Yeah, it was charcoal gray. And it had black wheels. It was all raised up, and you know, it was a lot of money.
And they had one there. No lie, they had one there. I have a photo of it. The passenger side door was open, and flush mounted in the floor, in a cutout, was a handgun.
And what was that there for? Decoration, or
I just assume like that. That's you know, you roll around, you want a weapon, you need it.
like Pete used to talk about, though. He's 45.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it's like Pete Chaporis rolling around with his gun jammed in between the seats. but this was really nicely done. And again, Tyson Sullivan is a friend of ours, an actor. He's been on the show before. He's a good old boy from Texas, and he was there with his dad, and they were losing it over that. They're like, "That's the greatest car piece I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, come on.
but you know, it's stuff like that makes the news, that makes people talk, and when it's Joe Regular, it's not some celebrity. It's, you know, it's some guy rolled in. He's got a successful business or whatever the case may be, and he buys what he wants, and that's what makes that. But what I was getting at is that. For the guy who doesn't have $100,000 to spend or even $50,000 to spend, there's still enough going on in Scottsdale and Phoenix during that week, whether it's Barrett Jackson with, you know, everything from that giant manufacturer's Midway to just going for the, you know, for hanging out and meeting people. I mean, if you want to go there and meet your, you know, your automotive heroes, they're there. I mean, you know, you walk around, I mean, and you're going to run into car builders. You're going to run into famous racing, you know, noteworthy people, other noteworthy car collectors, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's all there. I mean, you know, we were up in the skybox, and I had, Michael Anthony, my business partner, you know, we rolled up there and we talked to Alice Cooper for a while, and you know, we saw Bruce Meyer, and then later in the evening we were hanging out with Tim Allen, and you know, so it's all happening there. So you can go to that, or you can go to one of those big auctions, you know, at RM or Gooding or Bonhams, and watch incredible amounts of money be spent, and it's fun to be a fly on the wall and watch that happen.
It is. You know, we were walking around through all the tents. We must have saw every single car at RM, every single car at Barrett, and almost all the cars at Gooding. Some of them were underground in the parking garage. But I was walking around, and I found another sort of 90s car that I liked, vehicle, if you will, that I liked, the 91 GMC Cyclone. I like this.
Oh, yeah, those are cool. Typhoons and Cyclones.
I think they're kind of badass. And that was the thing. There was a Cyclone parked next to a Typhoon, and I was telling Tyson, I was like, dude, let's buy the pair. You buy one, and I'll buy one. The 92 Typhoon, which is the truck, the little Blazer. It was red with the gray underneath it, and the Cyclone, of course, was black. The Typhoon sold for $18,000, and the Cyclone sold for $19,000. By the way, two examples of really kind of fun cars. for less than 20 grand.
And they have Grand National drivetrains in them.
They do, but they're all-wheel drive. They got the engine.
Exactly. All-wheel drive. And so they haul ass. I mean, they're fast, cool little trucks, you know?
Definitely like 90s style. And when you get into them, the dash is very plastic and very flat. But I don't know. Like, when those things came out, they were just the coolest thing out there and fun. Completely useless as a truck.
Oh, well, yeah.
Couldn't haul anything, but fun. And there's a funny story that Jay Leno was telling me, and I might have mentioned it once before, but back when that thing was, like, pretty much new, Jay's wife wanted a Christmas tree, so Jay went out
to buy
a Christmas tree, and he was standing on the Christmas tree lot. He's like, that's a nice tree. I'll take that. Here's my address. Please deliver it. And they said, we don't deliver. And he's like, what? So he literally walked across the street where there was a car dealer. He bought a GMC Cyclone pickup truck, put the Christmas tree in it, drove it home, and he still has that GMC Cyclone today. I was there a week or two ago, and I saw it.
Yeah, it's sitting there. Yep.
He told me now he uses it as like his rainy day vehicle because it's fun and it's all-wheel drive, and he doesn't matter, you know, doesn't mind if he gets a little bit dirty. That's his rainy day vehicle. So if it's raining out in Burbank, you see a Cyclone running around, chances are it's Jay.
It's a white one. So watch for him, man. So
no, it's black.
It's pink. Come on. It's pink. So
it's pink.
Hey, the other car, did you see at Barrett Jackson, which I know you really, really wanted this, was the hot tub Cadillac. Did you see that one?
I did see it. I got a video of it. I was confused by what the hell it was, but somebody took a Cadillac, and I think he called it the Carpool DeVille.
Yes, the Carpool DeVille. And not only that, it had a certificate as the world's fastest hot tub, which, what is that, 10 miles an hour?
I saw something on TV about it. He filmed it racing somewhere, like a land speed thing, if you could call it that.
Yeah.
And he sent it to the Guinness Book of World Records, and they said, congratulations, here's your certificate. You now have the world's fastest pool? Hot tub?
But what was amazing is, you know, it actually drove, and that was what was crazy about it. I was looking at the tires, and the tires looked like something they would have on, like, a bulletproof car. You know, they're those thick, thick rubber, which you would have to have because of the weight. Because it wasn't a small hot tub. I mean, it was the entire. But what was great was when they drove it up to sell it, they kept the water in it, and the guy's wearing the Barrett Jackson driver shirt and a pair of shorts, and he's in the hot tub driving it.
It was a '69 Cadillac, and it sold for $24,000.
God.
That was the hammer price, so I guess add another 10% on that. So,
and what do you do with it? What do you really do with it?
I guess you could take it to Cars and Coffee, but only in the summer.
Well, I don't know. On a chilly morning, you just sit in there, and you know it's nice and warm. Because I put my hand in the water; it was warm. It's a real hot tub. It wasn't like a cold tub, so it was pretty.
I got to tell you, it's dumb. I'm just going to say it.
Well, what it does, it illustrates the breadth. I mean, you have everything from a cane-side Rolls-Royce made of copper, you know, one of the rarest, you know, Rolls-Royce in the world, all the way down to the hot tub DeVille. You know, I mean, it's like, and everything in between.
The description is funny because it's light blue metallic exterior color. Interior color is listed as 110 degree water.
Oh, they didn't say aquamarine?
No, it's 110 degree water, so it's nice and heated. Look, we saw it, and it was quite a little feat in engineering, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's gimmicky. I don't know if it's $26,400 gimmicky, but interesting to say the least.
It was for somebody, and Another one that stuck out to me was there was a 1941 fire truck there. Another vehicle that, you know, I guess if you collect fire trucks or you want a parade truck or something. But just from a design standpoint, it was Art Deco. It was a design I'd never really seen before. It was gorgeous. And it had in gold leaf on the doors, Beverly Hills Fire Department. And apparently I read the description on it that it was a real fire engine at the Beverly Hills Fire Department for a number of decades until they retired it. But leave it to Beverly Hills to have this one-off bodied fire truck, Art Deco, really rounded, really cool. If you want to see it, it's on my Instagram at BondSpeedBrad. But it's gorgeous, and it only hammered it like, I would have to look it up, but it was a very low price, which I think goes back to how much of a market is there for a 41 fire truck, right? But it was beautiful truck and well restored and just really neat. I mean, just looking at the styling, and it just shows kind of again, okay, it hammered at $35,000. And it was a United body on a Kenworth chassis, and it was really a great looking truck. So if you like I said, if you want to find something that it looks like it had sold previously January 17 for $50,000. So it dropped a little bit. Yep. So anyways, if you lived in Montecito and you needed a fire truck, in case your mansion was burning, could have that stylish one, But did you see anything that stuck out like that, the kind of quirky stuff to you?
There was a few things. Like, for some reason, I saw like a Hummer H2 sell for $100,000, and I can't figure out why. Like, 2008 Hummer, and I didn't get a chance to really look at it, but it was like, why is it $100,000? There were some pretty interesting things. Oh, I saw a Nissan Skyline right-hand drive car sell for about $40,000.
That was
the proper
buy.
Paperwork, the proper conversion. That seemed like a pretty cool car as well. And then you may not notice this, but there's a bunch of Fox Body Mustangs there. Those were pretty cool, too.
I knew we were leading up to that. I knew we could, like, round the show up because you were just going to talk. I could finally go, all right, we're off the air. We're going, But so, two rows.
Sorry, we're out of time.
18 Fox Bodies. Most of them, like, super low miles, still wrapped in plastic with the window stickers on them. Everything from an SVO to what was the one with the –
The ASC McLaren convertible was one of them as well.
Yeah, but the one at the very end, the white one with the lime green chicken on the hood, what was that one?
Yeah, I think that was a 79 or 76 Cobra 2.
Oh, that was a Cobra, not a chicken. Okay. So,
that was the blue one, and then there was another one. That was the Cobra as well, the 79 Cobra. There was a white one with blue stripes, which was the 76 Cobra 2.
Well, I'd never seen one like that. It was white with like black and green graphics. Really unusual.
Yeah, that car sold for $18,000.
Really?
16,000 miles on it. So I've gotten a lot of tweets and questions and comments and stuff. And I would say this, first and foremost, I love the attention that the Fox Body Mustangs were getting at this show. It was great to see them all. They were in wonderful condition. People who liked the cars were really into them. They were fun to watch on the auction block. And overall, some of these cars got really good money. That Mustang SVO, which was gorgeous, it had 3,124 miles on it, sold for $30,000. They had that AFC McLaren that I told you about,
yep.
The 1988 car, 15,600 miles. It sold for $25,000. Just an 89 GT with 5,400 miles on it sold for $25,000. They had another one of those green Mustang LX, the 7-Up edition cars with
right.
a supercharger on it. This one had 17,500 miles on it, but with a supercharger, and it sold for $22,000. excuse me. And some of the later model ones, if you will, there was a Mustang 50LX convertible, one of the anniversary cars with the white mirrors and the white wheels. It had a supercharger installed on it, only 7,300 miles, sold for $41,000.
Wow.
All of these are just hammer price, so you got to add 10% to
exactly,
these.
Yeah.
This gorgeous blue LX50 convertible, only 340 miles on the car. Hammer price was $49,000. $49,000 for basically a blue, or basically a stock, although new, 5-liter LX.
That's a lot of money for that
93.
Car. Yeah, that's a lot
it
of money.
It is a lot of money for that car. So my take on it is this, is again, I like the exposure that the Fox body Mustangs are getting, but this is not reflective of real-world prices, because these cars have from a couple of thousand to down to just a few hundred miles on them. And yeah, look, if you've got a really clean Fox body Mustang and it's got 1,000 miles on it, it's worth some bucks. But if you've got a really clean Mustang and it still has 90,000 miles on the Carfax, you know, it's not a $40,000 car. As much as I would love it to be a $40,000 car, it's not quite there, and I'm not sure it will. Like with any of these collector cars, go for the special car. Go for the one that's, you know, the Mustang Cobra or the SAC car or the Anniversary Edition car or the 7-Up car or potentially the Celine cars. I think the Celine cars might start moving if they're pretty special. Some things like that. The Roush cars have trouble getting the money yet, although they're pretty new. They're like the SN95 body styles and newer. But if you had something special like a Celine SA10, like a 93 anniversary edition car, that would be worth some bucks. But it is nice to see them all there. And it's nice to see them getting some attention.
Somebody should have bought them all and kept them together, man. They should have kept that collection together, Matt. It should have been you. You should have, you know, some of your money, you know, that you should have parted with it and bought the whole collection.
That guy, Dennis, whatever, that was selling the cars, I'm sure he did well on them. He doesn't strike me as a guy that overpays for cars,
yeah.
Despite what he says. He always says he pays well for cars with low miles, but I think he's a tough negotiator, and I think he created something. He drew attention to it. You know, he's got a big social media following, and he's on that TV show, and he drew attention to these things, which is a great way to do it. It helps all of us, but believe me, if you went on to Craigslist right now, and you know. There was a funny joke that somebody posted up on Instagram that said, attention all car lovers, for the next 30 days, any car that was listed on Craigslist for $1,000 is now going to be listed for $10,000 because somebody saw it on Federer Jackson.
Well, exactly. Yes. Everybody thinks their car's worth what they saw go across the stage, you know? And you got to remember, you know, incredible cars, incredible prices because of the concentrated group of buyers. You know, you don't have that concentrated group of buyers who are there with money in their pocket that's ready to be spent. That is, you know, discretionary income that is already spent the minute they walk in the door because they've got their credit line aligned, you know. So, but
yeah, and that's the thing is you still have to be realistic. Like we mentioned earlier, ClassicCars.com and Hagerty Price Guide, they're all good indications of where the markets are going. And, you know, and it's only going to be what somebody's going to be willing to pay. It's funny because I've seen like a 93 Cobra R model listed on eBay. I swear the car's been up there for 2 years because, you know, it's a $50,000 car the guy's been asking like $110,000 for forever. And I know it's just sitting in a showroom and it's on consignment and it just gets dusted off like once a week. But And it'll be $110,000 one day. He's probably got 5, 6, 8 more years, but he just keeps relisting it on eBay. It just keeps getting posted again and again and again at the same price.
Oh, Matt, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That was the buzzer. You can't talk about Ford Fox bodies anymore this episode.
Oh, ran out of time.
You ran out of time. You hit the limit. But, hey, you know, very seriously, we had a great time over in Scottsdale. The weather cooperated right up till Saturday. Then a little chill came through, but it didn't chill the prices because, as Matt and I just told you, everything was selling pretty well. The market's still hot, and you know, we'll be looking forward to more. I know we've got a Mecum auction coming up out here in Southern California in a few weeks, and it'll be interested to see how things go there. And I know we'll be back in Scottsdale next year.
Guys, put this on your bucket list. Arizona Auction Week and Monterey Car Week.
No
two events
kidding.
You should go to. I would say Monterey is going to cost you a little more money, but Arizona is fun if you just want to go and see the cars. It's a little bit tougher to get into like an RM or a Gooding because you kind of have to be a bidder to get in. It's not really an event. It's just
right.
an auction. But that being said, Bearish Action is always a good time. And although it did rain a little bit, it didn't really put a damper on the weekend. Last year seemed to rain a lot harder than it did this year. Like you said, more tents for us. It's a fun event. And by the way, vendors out there, and Roush has a booth, and Bondurant has a booth, and Sling has a booth, and GM, and BMW, and Super Performance, and, you know, all the car care guys. There was that team, Ride Tech and Centerforce Clutches and Boulder Transmissions. They did that 48-hour Corvette build. They built a car on site, a cool resto mod, crane engine, the whole deal, and then they auctioned it off.
Yep.
Like, it just all happened within a few days. It was fantastic to see.
That gives a whole new meaning to build and flip, you know? I mean, you flip it in 48
right?
hours. Build it, flip it. But, hey, we got to wrap this episode up, Matt. Where can they find us online and all that good stuff?
You know, check us out at shiftandsteer.com and all of our social media is shiftsteermedia. You know, I've been posting the past few days. Brad's been posting the past few days. Take a look. Probably our Instagram is the best place.
You can find
my Instagram at Motorator. And mine's just Motorator. Brad, what's your Instagram?
It's Bond Speed Brad.
Check those out. Lots of fun photos from the past week in Scottsdale. And, of course, we appreciate you guys supporting the show and supporting our advertisers. And we hope that you get a chance to tell a friend about the show. That's the way it keeps growing. And we can keep this thing going and offer it to you for free.
Yeah, And enter, text into that AMSOIL contest, and I'll be your friend. I can be your plus one. I'll go to Indy with you. Heck yeah.
Brad will go with you.
Yeah. So, hey, everybody. Thanks cool. for listening to Shift and Steer. We just got back from Auction Week in Scottsdale, and, you know, we had a great time. You should put it on your bucket list, like Matt said. And for myself, Brad Fanshaw, I'm with, who am I with on the other end of the line?
This is Matt's Motorator, DeAndrea.
That's right. And Aaron Hagar, who we didn't even have a chance to call because he didn't make Scottsdale this year. And he's probably going to be like, well, why didn't you guys call me about the show? We're going to go because you weren't there. So, you know. Anyways, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.